If you think you're always going to have a car payment, you're always going to have a car payment. Because you bought into the lie, that lie. You bought into the lie that you're always going to have a car payment. You have a car payment because you choose to have a car payment. You don't have to have a car payment. You know, a lot, we just want it now. I mean, we see it. We see that nice car, 2020 car, and we're like, man, I want that car. And the only way that you can get it right away, is if you borrow money. It's that simple. And we're willing to borrow money to have that nice car for what? So you can look good in it? What's the whole reason for the car? Like, think about it. The basic level for a car. Think about it. The basic level for a car is what? Get you to point A to point B. To get you to work so that you can make money. Right or not right. Or to get you to your relatives to go visit. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the purpose of a car. And if we want it right now, right away, we're going to borrow money to get it. And then I think the reason why people say, oh, we're always going to have a car payment, is because we always want the nicest car. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need the nicest car. If you don't have the money to pay for it cash, you don't have the money. You know what I'm saying? That's point blank. That's it. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. And people will be like, well, I can never do that. Yes, you can. Imagine if you had no payments, all you did was work. All you paid was your phone bill, your basic expenses. You don't have no credit card, you don't have no other car payment. If you saved up for what, 2, 3, 4 years? If you saved up $1,200 every month for 4 years, that's what, $56,000? $56,000 car for 4 years. You know, and then at that point, imagine this. If you had that money in a suitcase, you know what I'm saying? That hard-earned money that you saved for 4 years, and you take it to the dealership, it's gonna freaking hurt. It's gonna hurt. Because you saved that hard-earned money for 4 darn years. Driving your beater car, working your butt off. Once you get to the dealership, you're gonna have to give it away. The transaction that happens when you use cash causes pain receptors in your brain to go off, because you're giving something and you're receiving something. All them Benjamin Franklins, you're giving them to get that car. You're not going to get them back. When that happens, then we start to think, man, how important is a car really? I'm not saying you can't have nice things, okay? I'm just saying if you don't have the money to pay for it right then and there, you can't afford it. Okay? A lot of us, we think that we can afford it because we can afford the payment. If you can afford the payment, then why not save it up for 4 years only? Or 3 years, or 2 years, or whatever. And if we borrow the money, we're going to pay more than what we're buying it for. So imagine, basically what you're doing, say imagine saving for 7 years, $1,200 a month. It's going to be more than $56,000, but you're going to go to the dealership and you're going to go and tell the dealership, okay, here's my money for the car and the bank. What's the reason for the bank? To lend you money in the first place. If you had a stack of money on your table right now to buy a car cash, imagine this. Would you go to the bank first and get permission to buy the car? No, you don't need the bank because you have cash. You see where I'm going with this? You have cash. There's money. How important is a car? So if the if you purchase a car cash, right? The car, the value of the car goes down. You've heard it before. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it goes down in value. That's very true. Because a car has a motor. The motor is constantly turning, constantly churning. It's going to wear out. The value goes down. It's basically a big toy. It's not an investment. It's not an investment because it goes down in value. So you pay $56,000 for that car that you saved for 4 years. That 56, the value that you paid for 56 is going down. You're never going to get that $56,000 back from that car. Now, a property, if you bought a property for $56,000, you put some money into it, the value goes up. You get, and say you go and sell it later, you get your $56,000 back and more. That's an investment. A car is not an investment. It's not. I mean, maybe if you got like an old school freaking Chevy or Corvette or something like that, yeah, you know, it has value because it becomes a collectible. It's a collectible, which is still a toy, you know. So what we're doing is we're putting money into things. So what we're doing is several things. One, we're putting money into something that goes down in value. We're not going to get that money back because it's going down in value. And two, we're paying the bank extra money when we do payments. We're paying extra for the car. So we're paying not only 56, we're paying more than that. And the value's going down. That doesn't make any sense. So how do we get to the point where we can buy a car? Well, you get on a budget, right? Nobody wants to hear about a budget. It's like a four-letter word. Because what the budget does is it makes you face your problems. It makes you face your habits. It makes you face yourself and be like, oh man, I spend a lot of money. I don't make enough to spend this much money. You know, and if you're married and you don't want to tell your spouse your spending habits, that budget's going to be avoided for years. And we're going to keep making these bad decisions, and we're going to keep copping out with, oh, I'm always going to have a car payment. And it's irresponsible, yo. It's irresponsible because that money that we're paying in extra in payments, we could be putting that into investments for our future, okay? You don't want to be 60, 70 years old still trying to keep your credit score up, still making payments. It kills me when I talk to people that I work around. They're 60, 50, close to 70, and they're still making payments, y'all. It kills me because if I was that age, when I get to that age, I want to be chilling. I don't want to be working. I want to be going on vacation, spending time with my grandkids, or, you know, doing stuff that I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's possible because I'm showing you this money that we could save up. That money, same money, we could put it into a good growth stock mutual fund or an index fund like the S&P 500, which averages like, what, 12% annually, which is a good return on your money. But I use mutual funds because sometimes if you pick the right one, it'll outperform the S&P. You'll get sometimes a higher percentage annually than the S&P. So that's good to have a mutual fund. So what I'm saying is that money could be going into those investments or in property that you can pay cash for. And people think that when I say that, people are like, nope, you're crazy. It's not possible. Yes, it is. It just involves discipline, hard work, budgeting and managing your money, living on less than you make, Because I guarantee you right now, there's people out there that have money saved up in investments in properties that are paid cash for, and they don't look like you think they should look. You see what I'm saying? It can be deceiving. But then once they get to retirement, they can stop working. They can lend money because they have money. And why shouldn't we be able to do that? You know what I'm saying? Why shouldn't we be able to say, hey, I don't need a credit score. I can buy a car by saving up money. You know, once you have that car, which is a toy, if you say it's a brand new car, you pay for it cash, you don't have any payments. You could be going to work in style. At the same time, you put it away for retirement, put it away for your kids' college fund, put it away for, putting away cash so they can we can buy a property, which is it's possible, y'all. It's possible because I'm on that track. We're on that track, my wife and I. We're debt free. I don't have any student loans, no credit cards, no car payments. The only thing that we're paying off right now is our mortgage, and we're paying it down relatively quickly. We should pay it off less than 7 years. All because we have a good chunk of change to chunk at the mortgage, which is a mortgage, which is something that I don't yell at you about, because it's an investment. It's a good investment, for one, you know, and two, it becomes part of your net worth because it goes up in value. You know, if you get a good deal somewhere, it goes up in value. It becomes part of your net worth. You know what I'm saying? And to be a millionaire, you have to have a net worth of $1 million. Say you have a house that's worth $180,000. That's $180,000 of your $1 million that you would have saved, that you would have in the property that you own, and with investments as well. I mean, it's real, y'all. It's possible, and I see it. We see it. We see the finish line. We're seeing our investments growing. You know, and investing, it's not sexy, y'all. It's not sexy at all. I'm talking about investing into a 401k or a Roth IRA or mutual funds or no-load index funds or whatever. It's not sexy because you're putting money in and your money grows with the market, and it's slow like a turtle. It's ugly, but it's still moving up and up and up and up. And it's not quick, fast like a car, because with a car you can see people put it off and be like, look at me, look what I got, I'm successful. And I'm looking at them like, you're freaking dumb, because you're paying the bank extra money for something that's going down in value. That's dumb. You know, and I'm dumb with you because I've been there. You know, I've never actually bought a car, because I caught myself, you know, I've gotten the knowledge to where I know for sure that, I mean, I've bought a car, but I paid cash for most of them, and they're $4,000. How quick can you save $4,000 for a car, or $5,000 for a car that's going to get you where you need to go while you're stacking up your money? Relatively quick, because the only place I drive my truck is to work, home, work, home, work, home. Like the ant, what does it say in Proverbs? Look to the ant who is diligent in his work, always working, boom, boom, always on the grind, moving, boom, boom, boom. You know, what for? So that, one, you can leave an inheritance to your children. That's huge. We can leave an inheritance to our children's children. Not only a spiritual inheritance, but a wealth here on earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, we teach, it's more than just the here and now. We teach our children how to manage money. when we die, we give them a huge amount of money. And by that point, you know, hopefully with the guidance that we've been giving them, they'll know how to manage large amounts of money, because we've taught them how, up until that point, how to manage a bank account, how to do a budget, let them fall and fail in the household with money, so that we can teach them, hey, remember you made this decision, now you're going to make it, you know, are you going to make that dumb decision again? You see what I'm saying? So you leave an inheritance to your children because you teach them how to manage money, and then once they figure it out, and then you give them a lump sum of money, if they're responsible with it, and they're going to give it to their children. And then there's the argument, like, why am I going to give my kids money if they're going to be responsible with money? The only way they're going to, they, a huge factor into that is how you teach them with money. That's the only way, not the only way, but a huge factor into it. If you don't teach them how to deal with money, then they're going to squander your money. They're not going to figure out what to do with it. But if you teach them, look, money is given to us to be stewards of God's money, be responsible with it, leave an inheritance to your children's children. So that's one thing. Another thing is to be able to retire with money. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to work at your job when you're 60, 70 years old? The job that I'm doing, I don't want to be doing this at 60, 70 years old. You know what I'm saying? And then sometimes you can get to 60, 70 years old and then be like, well, what do I do with myself? Well, what are your hobbies? You know what I mean? We went so long without doing things that we really like to do that we can rediscover that. You know what I'm saying? And we have the money to be able to do that at retirement, because you've been diligent with money. You've been making responsible decisions and putting them in investments, so that way you can have money, an income, basically, so that you can do the things that you want to do. And if you have enough money to retire at, what, 45, 55? Say you started at 18 years old. You saved all the way up until 40 in good investments. You were responsible with money. You can retire 45, 55. And then you can do whatever the heck you want. You know, say you start a business. You have money coming in from your investments, you know, to pull from retirement. And say you can start your own business. And you can do a business that you like. And then that business starts generating money. You got the money from your business that you like to do, and the money coming in for your retirement, you know. And then I could be like, well, that sounds good. I wish I was 18 still. Well, start now. You know what I'm saying? Like, start now. Like, I didn't know about any of this till, what, fairly recently, like 4 or 5 years back. Just now getting started. You know what I'm saying? But that's all because, you know, I had no knowledge about this. I knew a little bit about money, but not what I know now. You know what I'm saying? But we can regret and look back and be like, oh, I could have done this. I should have, could have, would have. But if we keep that mentality, we're going to stay there, you know, honestly. And we're not going to move forward in where we want to go with money. I hope this is helpful, you guys. I know some people don't agree with me, which is fine. Some people that are listening, y'all, try it. Taste and see. Figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I follow this guy named Dave Ramsey. A lot of the principles that I'm teaching you here are from what he teaches and what I've read on his blogs and stuff. The guy, if you listen to some of his stuff, he's really blunt. But he's very smart and wise in this area. A lot of people don't like him, but I mean, I kind of like sift and weigh it and be like, that makes a lot of sense. And these principles I'm showing you are principles that we live by personally, and we're striving to do, my family and I. So I hope this helps y'all. Bye.